ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name number 594, is Shantida, the meaning of which is straightforward, the giver of peace. Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan has given a meaning which you wouldn't immediately think of. If you think Krishna is a giver of peace, yeah, all right, peacefulness, very nice. But he, in this series of names, he connects with Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. The first name in this verse is Shubhanga, so he gave the meaning that the handsome features of Lord Krishna's transcendental body charm the minds and hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. So Shantida, he says that his gentle smile pacifies their hearts and inspires great feelings of love for him. So he gives them peace. Peace can be understood as the cessation of anxiety, fear, desire. So Krishna does that by coming into, by being in Vrindavan and by coming into the presence of the devotees. Mother Yashoda is in great anxiety about Krishna when he's out in the pasturing grounds. Oh, there's so many demons coming all the time. And the younger gopis, they have very strong desire to see him. So Mother Yashoda feels relief from anxiety that, oh, when Krishna comes back, oh. And also the fact that she wants to see him, that desire is fulfilled. So in this way he pacifies the residents of Vrindavan and gives them peace, Shantida, the giver of peace. Now, Parashara Bhatta, if you remember, he gave the meaning of the name Shubhanga in what we might consider the not the most obvious way, that he makes the limbs of yoga auspicious by being the object of yoga. So he continues with this theme that those who perform yoga and actually attain darshan of him within the heart by the process of yoga, then they attain peacefulness. That also the fulfillment of their object of desire. Such a difficult process, we can hardly imagine. I mean, even in the times when people were very pious and religious and inclined to austerity, even then to be that kind of yogi was considered something very difficult. And what to speak of nowadays, where people, they can't tolerate even any slight disturbance. People are so disturbed by any small thing, and they can hardly imagine any austerity. So the yogis, they take great trouble, and then they feel, very nice, when they see Krishna. So he fulfills that desire. Parashara Bhatta quotes from two places in Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Vishvasyai kampari veshtit Taram gyatva shivam shantim atyantamiti. If a person realizes the auspicious God, as he says Shiva here, Shvetashvatara Upanishad is often considered to be a Shaiva text. If a person realizes the auspicious God who pervades the universe, he attains perfect peace. And then again, Shvetashvatar Upanishad. Tamishanam varadam devamulyam nichaya atmanam shantim atyantamiti. So the same thing. Shantam atyantam eti, supreme peace or extreme peace. When a person realizes that God who is the ruler, the Ishana, then again that's usually a name for Shiva. It's also Vishnu Sahasranam as far as I remember. The granter of boons, Varadam, worthy of praise, Devamidyam, and is the inner soul, Nichaya Atmanam, he attains the highest peace. Then Parashabhata quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, one verse. I'm going to quote a series of verses from Bhagavad Gita because this is another way that Krishna gives peace. Peace is a subject that Krishna talks about a lot in the Bhagavad Gita. He mentions the word, which is quite surprising if you consider that he's inducing Arjuna to fight. And why is Arjuna going to fight? So that there can be peace. So the demons will be killed. There cannot be peace in the state if there are demons in charge. Even if there is some kind of peace, it won't be a happy peace. Just like if there's a despotic ruler, he may keep peace in the state, but it's a peace based on fear. So, Krishna here in Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about peace. He speaks about peace. It's more individual peace. It's run the wrong way. Anyway. It's more about individual peace that someone attains after following the yoga process. So, Bhagavad Gita is a yoga shastra. It's a treatise on peace. So, Krishna, he speaks how to get peace. And the first thing he emphasizes is that one cannot have material desire and be peaceful. The two things don't go together. Krishna bhakta nishkama taiv shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakaliya shanta. I discussed that when I was speaking in the names on the previous verse, which also incorporate the name Shanti. Shanta, Sama, Shanti. So this kind of name is coming up quite a lot here. So, this important point. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudrama pa pravishanti advat tadvat kama yang pravishanti sarve sa shantim apnoti na kama kami. Krishna gives the example of the samudra, the ocean. Of course, there are different words for ocean. This name samudra particularly refers to that into which the rivers flow. So the water of the rivers, they enter into the ocean, which just remains the same. If you see a huge river, especially in the rainy season, you haven't seen because you're from Tamil Nadu, and the big rivers, you don't get the rain. If there's any rain, it gets stopped up in Karnataka. But if you see the Ganga, I remember once seeing that this must have been 1979 or 1980, I went to Bhagalpur in Bihar, and I was advised not to go by one leader, and another said, yeah, go there for book distribution, taking a party. Because they're saying, don't go there, there's so much rain. Now Bihar is flooding, it's flood season. Now, right now, as we say this. So seeing the Ganga there so wide, must have been, I could hardly see to the other side, of course, because it was so dark and cloudy, even in the daytime. But it's such a big river. But that, it's quite impressive to see, just like you see a big mountain, it's very impressive. Or even if you see a huge man who's 2 meters tall, anything big is impressive. So Ganga in the floods is... That was just in Bihar, and beyond that is Bengal. So it's very impressive, it's surprising to see. But that huge Ganga, that enters the ocean, and the amount of water that the Ganga puts in the ocean, it's just a drop compared to the whole ocean. So even huge rivers that drown so many people are drowning in Bihar at the present time, if you're seeing the news headlines. Nothing compared to the ocean. So the same thing, huge, overwhelming material desires, but if we become oceanic, means very big in our consciousness, then these big desires, which seem like they can completely wash us away, they become insignificant. Another common analogy is given in Shastra of not specifically in this regard, it can be in this regard, just like if you attack an elephant and beat it severely with a lotus flower, is the elephant not going, the elephant's not even gonna, you're just walking on, the elephant will continue to walk on. You won't even be disturbed. Now if you attack an ant with a lotus flower, then you could kill the ant, but not an elephant, it won't even notice. So in the same way, a person can achieve peace if he's like that, just not disturbed by desires which will keep on coming, just like the rivers keep on flowing to the sea. They will, but one who desires to enjoy those desires, he cannot achieve peace. Then in the very next verse, Krishna again takes up the same point. Vihaya kaman yah sarvan pumangs charati nispriha. Nirmamo nirahankara sashanti madigacchati. Here he says, in the previous verse he spoke about just being unaffected by desires. And here he specifically speaks about giving up all desires and living in the world without desire, means without any material desire. So that's giving up desire. And a person who is nirmama, nirahankara, no sense of I, this belongs to me, or ahankar, I'm better than you. So a person, but this also comes from material desire. This material mamata, the sense of something belongs to me, and ahankar, I am so great. So a person who's without such thoughts, sashanti madigacchati. So Krishna, he gives peace by giving us the way to get peace. Again and again in Gita he speaks, shraddha vallabhate jnanam tatpara sangyatendriyaha jnanam ladva parang shantim achirena adigacchati. So the adigacchati, shantim adigacchati, one goes to peace or one attains peace. And here it said one will very quickly attain peace, achirena. If one, the same point is there of not indulging in material desires, is sangyatendriyaha, one who has subdued one's senses. So that's pretty much synonymous with giving up material desires. And one who is faithful, he can get knowledge. These terms in modern empiric way of thought are considered to be opposite or contradictory. Faith compared to knowledge. But faith is a prerequisite to attaining any kind of faith. So a person who is faithful can attain spiritual knowledge. Jnanam here means spiritual knowledge. One who's controlled the senses, then he attains knowledge, and then very quickly he can attain the highest peace. So there's free from material desires and knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Then again, Krishna says, yukta karma palang tyaktva shantim apnauti naishtikim ayukta karma karena phale sakto nibhadyate. Similar, but again, it's in a different, somewhat different context. Krishna says, one who gets the results of his work, but he gives that up, then he can attain full peace. But one is bound up in this material world if he maintains material desires. Then the verse about peace that Srila Prabhupada quoted the most, Bhuktaram Yagya, again, oh, these are all Gita verses. Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mang Shantim Richati. One knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, and the supreme friend, he attains peace. That also I spoke of just recently, that you can't attain peace if we don't recognize this. Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasaha shantim nirvana paramam matsangstam adigacchati. It's in the description of the yoga, the meditative yoga process. So, a person whose mind is always fixed in yoga, such a yogi attains to the parama nirvana, supreme happiness, and comes to me. Then Krishna says about even someone who's very badly behaved, that means he's indulging in material desires, but if he's a devotee, then even if he's api chet sudara charaha, the most, someone engaged in the worst kind of behavior, but he's my devotee, then kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantam nigachati. Then very quickly he becomes righteous and attains eternal peace. So there are different kinds of peace. There's the kind of peace that you can get from going to sleep. That's one kind of peace. And people who are very agitated in their minds, they can't sleep. They just can't do it, because the mind is too active. That's why there's this so-called transcendental meditation. They teach you to relax, and then people are snoring nicely. It's not meant for that. But we can also feel, relaxed. But that's not real peace. You can feel very relaxed. Sometimes you may see an animal is very relaxed. Sometimes you see a cat lying in the sun, just stretching and very, very relaxed, very content. But it's an animal. It's in very low consciousness. Is in the cycle of birth and death, suffering, birth, death, old age, and disease. So real peace is eternal peace. That means to come to the spiritual world. Krishna then tells Arjuna, Tameva Sharana, telling Arjuna, he's just been speaking about the super soul. So in everyone's heart, Tameva Sharanam Gaccha Sarva Bhavena Bharata. Tat prasadat prarang shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Take full shelter of him, Krishna says to Arjuna, in all respects, no reservations. This verse is just four verses before the Savadhaman Parityaja verse, and it's practically the same as the same import. By his mercy, one can attain param shantim. Now, previously it was spoken that jnanam ladva param shantim achirena adigacchati, that by jnanam one can attain the highest peace. But here, what is that jnana? That jnana is to take shelter of Krishna, to know where one should take shelter. One cannot attain peace on one's own. Sometimes we read in the Bhagavatam about Kamsa. who thinks, oh, well, I'll kill all these Yadavas and all these demigods, and then I can rule peacefully. But that's... he thinks by his own power he can attain peace. But we have to take shelter of Krishna, who is actually the supreme power. Then we'll be peaceful, knowing that we're protected. Again, that verse comes to mind. Bhavantam eva anucharam nirantara. Bhavantam eva anucharam nirantara. Prahashisham. I forgot the second line. Anyway, the idea of taking shelter of Krishna. So that's how Krishna, he gives peace to those who surrender to him. Shankara also gives the idea that he gives peace, he allows us to have peace. Even we may make our own effort to get free of likes and dislikes, but ultimately we have to get beyond likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like that, in the material sense. Otherwise we can't get peace. But ultimately it is bestowed by Krishna. So we should remember that, especially the yogis or those who are looking for peace. They should remember ultimately everything is a gift from Krishna. You can't get it by yourself. You can try sitting, meditating on a mountain, and then you feel very peaceful, and someone comes and knocks the mountain to pieces and takes away all the granite for making buildings, something like this. So, the ultimate lesson that the commentators generally take is that he gives moksha, which is eternal peace. But Baladev gives us a better idea. Beyond moksha is the anxiety of being in the spiritual world. We may think I'll become very peaceful by becoming a sadhu. Yeah, but instead of worrying about income for my family and all these things, looking after my house, all the, and we're anxiety for Krishna. And we have to preach in various ways. There are so many things to do in the world, so many obstacles to be faced, so many difficult people. We have to deal with our own mind in the midst of all of this. So superficially, a devotee might not seem to be peaceful, but he's peaceful at heart because he's fixed on Krishna. The next name is Shrashta, which is very easily understood to mean the creator. So obviously God is the creator. Baladev Vidyabhushan again gives a meaning in relation to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. In the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's given a translation in the 9th canto that he creates a festival at every moment for the residents of Vrindavan. That's nice, isn't it? Every moment he's creating by his beauty, by everything about him. Baladev similarly says that he creates at every moment a treasure house of transcendental bliss, which becomes the prosperity of the residents of Vrindavan. This is the real wealth of Vrindavan. So that he's the creator. Now, there is a lot of atheistic propaganda floating around the world these days from people who believe, I'm emphasizing that word, in the name of science, they believe that the world doesn't have a creator. They may say that either it's just always existing, or they may say that there was nothing and then there was a big bang of nothingness and then it all settled down and here we are today to talk about how we got here without a creator. So these are all speculative beliefs, and although they say it's science, we can't believe, we're not obliged to believe what they believe. It's only a belief. If you say science is proof, okay, mix acid and alkali, watch the effervescence, and then you get salt and water. Okay, that's science. You can show it. But that the universe has come into being from without a creator, we can't accept that. So anyway, we believe, and ultimately there's no way to prove it one way or the other, but it just makes a whole lot more sense. When you see a complex arrangement, to think that it's made by a person. Just like an example, within this universe, you can find so many crossword puzzles. Now, who can make a crossword puzzle without a creator? But that's only one thing within a vast universe which they say there's no other. You get the point, there are so many things within the universe which we can't imagine could exist without a creator, then how they're only tiny bits and pieces within the universe, and how can they say there's no creator? So we don't accept this. There is a creator, and who is that creator? Well, Krishna says himself, Aham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhavaha. I'm the one who made the universe. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matasarvam Prabhatade. Everything comes from me, Krishna, but specifically about the creation of the universe. He states here, Parashara Bhatta, he says that, and he gives the meaning that just as he, in the previous name, Shantida, he gives moksha. So for those who don't get moksha, who don't want moksha, who want karma, so he gives them their position also. He gives them their position in 84 lakh species of life. He creates the universe and he creates the various situations within it for people to try to enjoy when actually they suffer. So from the macrocosmic collection of universes, there's more than one universe, even though the word universe means only one, and down to the microcosmic, everything in this world is created by him. Although when we think of the creator, it's actually within the universe, within each universe, Lord Brahma is the deputed agent. But then Krishna supplies the materials, he gives the intelligence to Brahma. So you could say he's the CEO of the company and Brahma's the chief engineer, the universal construction company under Krishna. It's not a commercial venture. It's a not-for-profit organization. Then again, he brings everything forth. There's evidence from Shastra again, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Vishvasya Shastaram Anekarupam. He takes many to create the universe. Aitareya Upanishad, famously, Saiman Lokana Srijata, Saikshata. Sayamal Lokan Asrujita. By his glance, he created the worlds. Another meaning is that the root Srij, from which this comes, Srijan, is another word which means creation. From which this comes, it means to let loose or to send forth. So the one commentator gives the idea that all the living beings and all the material energies are kept within his body after the destruction of the universe, and then he again lets it loose, lets it all out. So he lets it out, in this way he's Srashta, and then he creates or he oversees the creation. So in both ways, he's Shrashta. So this creation is, the purpose of that is for the conditioned souls to indulge in their material desires. So Krishna creates a situation wherein they can indulge their material desires, but he also creates a situation in which they can come out of that illusion. So that's also part of his creation. And of course, beginning from Brahma down to some inventor, we're using here this microphone and recorder. If in the modern world, if we just look around us, and we'll find just in an ordinary home or practically any building, if we look around, we'll find the products of so many inventors, so many things have been developed. And all their developments, they're all interrelated. Just like discovering the periodic table, discovering the uses of fossil fuels, especially oil, discovering steel was a major breakthrough in the Industrial Revolution. There's so many things all came together to make this modern society possible, or postmodern, or post-postmodern, or whatever you want to call it. But that creative impetus comes from Krishna. People had the desire to enjoy, to exploit, to think that they're conquering nature, and Krishna gave them the intelligence how to make the big mess they've made in the name of progress. So his creation is symptomatic of his kindness, that he lets us indulge in our childish play, but at the same time he gives opportunity. Within the creation, he creates opportunities for us to turn to him. The miseries of this material world are also his creation to help us to realize that we don't belong here at all. We can't actually be happy without him. Okay, I'll stop there. Oh, I guess one other thing, that we can also appreciate the beauty of his creation. That's also that whatever beauty is there within the creation is created by him. There are also very horrible things, just like if someone has an open wound and there are maggots in there, it doesn't look very beautiful. But then if we see some beautiful rural scene, the rainy season here in India is a time when natural beauty is much enhanced. But most people never see it because they're in the cities. They don't like the rain. Yeah, the farmer likes the rain. The city people, they want the water, but they don't want the rain. But you can't have... Well, I guess you can. You can in the Gulf, Arabian Gulf or Persian Gulf, whatever you want to call it, depending whether you're an Arab or a Persian. They take water from the sea and distill it and use it. Very expensive process. Yeah.
Talking about peace, I'm just thinking that now there's so much debate that because of the effects of multiculturalism and the loss of peace in the Western countries.
Loss of peace in the Western countries. Well, it wasn't that they were ever really peaceful, but actually, they would say it's more peaceful now than it's ever been. Europe hasn't seen a major war for 70 years. They'd say it's more peaceful. Now, although the people are now, you can't walk on the street without being afraid. They discovered this system of ramming people to death by vehicles. But within people's minds, certainly, they're less peaceful. That's the... You can't trust anyone. Even in the Western world, in most places, up until not so long ago, people, they wouldn't lock their doors. They'd go out. I've seen myself in Ireland, in the villages, 40-something years ago. The door would be wide open. There's no one at home. They wouldn't just leave the door open, but they'd leave the... not just not locked, but wide open. But that's not possible. People wouldn't dream of doing such a thing nowadays. So there was that much trust among people. So in that way, they were peaceful. Yeah. So definitely, yeah, there's a lot more tension and stress in modern society than there was previously.
Yeah, I was just wondering why we don't see examples of civil unrest in Shastra because of multiculturalism.
We don't hear about civil unrest in Shastra. Well, we do hear about the citizens were very unhappy under Vena, but they didn't make a protest movement. It's a completely different concept of society. It's the citizens are not supposed to rebel. There's no such idea. The brahmanas and kshatriyas, if the king's not doing well, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas between them, they have to sort him out. There's no idea of having any other system of government apart from having a king on top. Of course, there'd be local councils also. But really, this democracy has given a completely different way of thought to people.
Okay, finish. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.